want to start a Bible lesson called Courageous Faith. The truths that are on this lesson sheet are the three most important things I've learned, and I had to relearn a few things, and so I want to go through it. Does everybody have the lesson sheet to operate courageous faith? You have to be able to answer these three questions. What is question number one? Has what I am asking God for been provided by grace through faith? Question number two is, have I released my faith by acting on the known will of God? And then question number three, am I persuaded enough about what I believe to be able to overcome natural unbelief? Now, these three truths are three things that I learned in more detail by a man by the name of Andrew Womack. So we're going to put his website up. And again, I'm not teaching, this is my teaching, but I do want to put Andrew Womack's website up. It's awmi.net, and he was in Phoenix this weekend. I didn't get to go up there and see him. But all of this material, all these resources are available to you on his website, and they're all available free of charge. So take the time to go on his website and download. What I'm going to recommend are three books or three lessons. You can find them on the website. The three lessons I'm going to recommend are Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. Write that down. Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith. And again, all this material is free. And of that $52,000 that we gave away, $22,000 we gave to Andrew Womack's ministry. So you have a right, if you put money in the basket here, you have a right to download this information for free. Now, if you can afford to buy the book, but if you can't, download these things on the website. So the first book is called Living in the Balance of Grace and Faith, and then the second book that I would recommend would be You've Already Got It. You've Already Got It. And then the third one is The True Nature of God, because you're not going to be able to believe God unless you understand his character and you understand how much God loves you. Let's say it, everybody. God loves me. Say it. God loves me. So I'm basically, in these three questions that I'm asking, all of that information is in those books, and that way you can spend quality time, because in a 45-minute Bible lesson, there's no way you can get all that together, right? But I can get you fired up and excited. The number one thing that he taught me and that I learned from his ministry was that faith doesn't move God. Everybody understand that? In other words, you can't get yourself up to a level of faith, and that'll determine whether or not God will give what it is you need from him. God has already provided everything we need by grace. Look at this. God has already provided everything we need by grace, and faith simply appropriates what God has already given to us. So the mistake that gets made is we ask God to heal us, or we ask God to bless us, when in fact he's already done that. Let's start out in Ephesians 2:8, Jordan. Ephesians 2:8, and I'm going to have y'all help me today and read some of these verses with me. It says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Let's say it, everybody. Say it out loud. By grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is. Now, the word saved, this word saved right here, S-A-V-E-D, is the Greek word sozo, and it means that God has provided everything we need by grace. He's provided everything we need by grace, which would include salvation, healing for the physical body, right? Material prosperity, provided we do the things that's required to be prosperous materially. Economically, socially, anything that's wrong with humanity, God provided it to us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved us by His grace. And then go ahead and put verse 9 up, Jordan, because I know here's another important clue here. Verse 9, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Say that.
Not of works, lest anyone should boast.
So we didn't deserve to be saved, right? We didn't deserve to be healed, right? We didn't deserve to have our finances met, but by grace, God provided it to us because He loves us. So the great thing that I figured out that really has helped me tremendously in my life was that I don't have to talk God into doing what I need. I don't have to get up to a certain faith level to receive what I need. God has already provided it to me by grace. Everybody see that? John 19:30. Let's put that verse up. John 19:30. Very important. How many of you understand how important that is? I came up under the Word of Faith message, and again, these guys might have taught it better than I heard it, so I don't want to blame anybody. I don't want to put any disrespect toward anybody. They may have taught it better than I heard it, but the way I heard it was I had to get to a certain faith level, and then maybe God would help me. God has already done everything I'll ever need, and He did it for me because He loved me, and He did it by grace. Nobody deserves the blessing of God. He gives it to everybody because He loves everybody. Got it? So when Jesus had received the sour wine, I guess we can bring John to a conclusion with this verse. I tried to get to the end of John. Jerry, I did. I tried. But so when Jesus had received the sour wine, He said, what did He say? It is finished. Say it again. It is finished. And bowing His head, He gave up His spirit. Now, total salvation wasn't finished in the sense that He had to be raised from the dead, because you're only saved when you believe that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. But what was finished was everything that was wrong with humanity. Now listen to this. This is so good. Everything that was wrong with humanity was placed on Jesus Christ. Any problem, any sickness, any sorrow, any grief, anything that any depression, anything that was wrong with humanity was laid on the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the reason why He said, it is finished. What went on here was, remember now, through the process of His death, remember that the Roman soldiers placed a crown of thorns on His skull, and He bled from His head. And the Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was placed on Him then. And it was placed on not only me, but for who? Everybody, because it's by grace we're saved through faith. See, so when you gain an understanding of this, you no longer are trying to get God to do something. Listen to this now. You're no longer trying to get God to do something. You're simply releasing your faith toward what God has already done. So you can say, Father, thank You that You have healed me. Father, thank You that You have saved me. Now, one of the things that I say all the time, and I'll keep saying it, is that most of us have been taught this way when it comes to being saved. If I ask any of you in this room right now, especially in the group we're in right now, if I ask any of you in this room, are you saved, what would your answer be?
Yes.
What would your answer be?
Yes.
Jerry, are you saved?
Yes.
Are you saved? Your answer is you're saved because you believe in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I ask any of you, did you deserve to be saved, what should your answer better be, Mr. Robert Butterfield? No. If somebody said to Mark Browning, did you deserve to be saved, what would Mark Browning's answer be? Absolutely not. Am I right, Al? And so we teach it properly. I'm talking about people that have been born again, that have experienced salvation, that know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We teach it properly relative to salvation to go to heaven. And how many of you know that's the greatest thing there is? Heaven's looking better and better the longer we live. Isn't heaven looking better and better? I used to not be near as heavenly minded as I am now because heaven looks better and better. But every one of us, if I ask you, are you saved? You'd say yes. If I ask you, did you deserve it? You'd say no. But here's the thing, and this is what I keep trying to get everybody to understand. It's the same principle, faith and grace. Listen to me. These are certain things to write down. And again, you're not going to, I want to say another thing. Don't get under any condemnation about any of this. Just receive this information and be patient. And if it's brand new to you, take your time to sort through it and understand that God's faithful, right? Everybody answered that question that way. But then if I come around and find out that somebody's suffering with sickness, and I ask you, are you sick? Now listen, we ask you, listen to me now. We ask you, are you saved? And you said yes. But then we encounter somebody that's suffering with sickness and disease, and we ask them, are you sick? And what do they say? Yes. Because they're going by what they feel. They go by the doctor. They go by the symptoms. And by the way, absolutely nothing wrong with treating the symptoms. Absolutely nothing wrong with going to the doctor. Does everybody hear me? Straightforwardly, correctly. But what you need to learn is the same answer that you gave, you say, you know what? It's just like, how many of you always feel saved? Let's ask this question. Pete, you always feel saved? Praise God. Come over here and lay hands on me, will you? Get your hands laid on me. But we don't always feel saved, but we've been taught correctly, so we always say, I am saved, right? Even when we don't feel saved. And so the proper procedure relative to sickness and disease is to say, yes, I have these symptoms. Yes, my body hurts. But by grace, not only did God save me, but God healed me. We're going to take you through the cross. We're going to take you through the process of the cross. When did he heal you? This morning? Yesterday afternoon? No. 1 Peter 2:24. 1 Peter 2:24. When did he heal you? And again, I want everybody to understand something. And I know some people, I've taken some criticism. I want everybody to understand this is my revelation. This is my teaching. But I learned it by studying this information from Andrew Womack. So I'm not promoting Andrew Womack. I'm simply promoting the revelation. Does everybody understand that? That's all I'm promoting. Because I know this stuff, and it worked for me. When Jesus said it is finished, before he said it is finished on the cross, the Roman soldiers had taken him on the instructions of Pontius Pilate, you know, not a very nice man. And so they had taken him and they did something else to him before he went on the cross. Here's what happened. First of all, who himself, I'm not going to focus as much on this right now, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Isn't that beautiful? Bore whose sins? Everybody's. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. God so loved the world. So it's not exclusive just to me. It's for anybody that will receive it by grace. You got to receive it by grace. You got to understand you don't earn it. It's not something that you've done that makes you worthy of it. It's something Jesus and God the Father and God the Holy Spirit did that made us all worthy of it. So who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins. Now listen, God did that for us by grace. I'm going to ask the question, And the last word I'm going to say is by. And you know what your next word is, right? God did all this stuff for us by
grace.
God did all this stuff for us by
grace.
He saved me by
grace.
Now look at this. By whose stripes you were healed. Say that, everybody. By whose stripes you were, you were, you're not going to be. Were you saved? Pete's already testified that he's saved and was saved and is forever saved. Were you saved when Jesus' blood was shed for you? Were you healed when those stripes were put on him by the Roman soldiers? And it was because of God's
grace.
How many of you know the key word for everybody in the entire auditorium today is the word
grace.
Grace. Grace, 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 grace. Everybody see that? So, again, I've been teaching this forever, and if people would understand, if we would promote this and teach this to people, so when somebody comes up with sickness in their body, and I think I'm going to have Al, he's an evangelist, and he's anointed by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have him come up if anybody wants prayer. And you'd be willing to lay hands on people.
Amen.
Amen. But you don't come up to get healed if you're a Christian. You come up to confess, I am healed. I am healed. All right, you listening to me? Everybody see that? So it's all by grace. Now look, let's look at Ephesians 1:3. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here it is now. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, everybody see that word has? Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And he did that for us because of his
grace.
Man, y'all are fast learners today. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, some people say, well, see, that's only when you get to heaven. That's heavenly places in Christ when you get to heaven. Real quick, Jordan, go to Ephesians 2:5, real quick, and let's put an end to that train of thought. Ephesians 2:5. And actually, I meant 6. Watch this. Ephesians 2:6. Watch this. And he raised us up. And this is in our lifetime. See, this is right now. This is what you experience when you receive Jesus. This is now when you receive Jesus. Not when you get to heaven. See, it's too late to get eternal life when you get to heaven. You have to get eternal life in this life. And you get eternal life by believing in Jesus Christ. I won't turn there because of so many verses, but 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. How many of you believe in the name of the Son of God? And it says, if you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that something? So do you have eternal life? And you got eternal life in this life. You got to get eternal life in this life. If you're listening by radio or internet, you got to get eternal life in this life. And the way you receive eternal life is the great verse, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen.
So I said all that to tell you, all these things in the Bible are not in the future. Some things are. Guess what the one thing in the future is? That we're going to get a different body. How many of you are excited about the fact that we're going to get, look at Jerry's all, boy, he's pumped up on that one. We are going to get a different body. That's the hope of the church, is that we get a glorified body like Jesus's, so we can walk through walls and go anywhere we want to go, and there doesn't seem to be any time or distance, and we don't have to deal with this flesh. That's in the future. But everything that happened to us in our spirit happened to us in this life. Does that make sense? Everybody see where I'm going? I want to put Ephesians 1:3 up one more time, and then Jordan, we're going to go real quick back to 2:6, because I want to show you something. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everybody see that? But look at this. Now look at 2:6. And raised us up together and made us sit together, where? In the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So every spiritual blessing's mine because I'm sitting with Jesus in heavenly places. Does that make sense? So salvation's not in the future, it's now. Healing's not in the future, it's now. Deliverance is not in the future, it's now. Freedom from emotional disorders, not in the future, it's now. Freedom from depression's not in the future, it's now. I've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. And God did that for me by
grace.
Don't quit on me. All right. Now, one more verse, and then I think I've made my point. How many of you think I've made my point here? Well, don't be so right. 2 Peter 1:3. As his, notice it said, I have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, as his divine power has given. Say that. Yeah, it's good enough. I was going to have you say the whole thing. As his divine power has given to us. Now look at this. This is incredible. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. See, that's the reason why it's so important to get the knowledge. That's the reason why I'm promoting these books and this material and this information and websites, awmi.net, lifeinchristchurch.net, because it's important to get this knowledge, because it's as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. How did we get all this stuff that pertains to life and godliness? Did we deserve it? Did we earn it? Is it because we're Americans? Is it because we're Canadian? Is it because we live in a place of sunshine? No. He did it to us because of his grace. So you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing. He's given you all things that pertain to life and godliness. That step one is to recognize that God has already provided what I need by grace. Oh, and that step, it's just something you got to keep reminding yourself of, because you're going to get hit with stuff. How many of you understand that? We're not immune to being hit with stuff, but you have to remind yourself that by grace, God has given to me all things that pertain to life and godliness. So go back to Ephesians 2:8, and then we're going to see this word here. So it says, for by grace you have been saved, how? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So now we have to introduce, where does faith come in? How does faith play a part in this? It has a part to play, because notice it's not by grace alone, and it's not by faith alone, but it's by grace and faith. So faith kicks in, because then once you realize that God's done it for you, once you realize that you don't have to talk him into doing it for you, once you realize that it's already yours, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, once you realize that it's his divine power has given to you all things that pertain to life and godliness, once you realize that, then the way that's activated into your life is by faith. Got it? But not faith that's making God do it for you, but faith causing you to appropriate what God already did for you. I go to my body and I say, by faith, I'm healed, and I receive my healing by faith. Just like I go to the cross and I recognize that Jesus' blood was spilled for me, and I appropriate my salvation by faith. By faith. It was provided by grace, but I have to activate it by faith, by simply putting my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. It is finished. I have to put my faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Let me explain this to you. I'll give you this verse, 2 Peter 3:9, and I'll show you what this means here. This verse will really help. And 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us. How many of you are glad of that? Say that. But is long-suffering toward us. Listen to this. Now, I'm using this verse for an illustration. Not willing, everybody say not willing, that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So I don't care about some people's doctrines, and again, I'm gonna quit bad-mouthing doctrines. I'm just going to give you my doctrine. But if I'm reading that verse correctly, this verse tells me that God is not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. But are people perishing? Because, all right, but have we already discovered that God has already provided salvation for everybody? Did John 3:16 say that God so loved the world? Did it say that? So he's not willing that any should perish, but are people perishing? Is everybody that we see on TV saved? Is everybody we run into in town saved? But does God want them saved? He's not willing for them to perish. But what do they have to do in order for his grace to be activated into their life? What does he have to do? What do I have to do, that person that's not saved, what do I have to do to activate that into my life? I have to receive it by faith. I have to believe it. As many as received Jesus, to them he gave the right to become children of God. See that? See? So grace is available. The Bible says that the grace of God has appeared to all men. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the grace of God. The Bible says that the grace of God has appeared to all men. But in order for that grace to be appropriated into your life, you have to receive it. So even though God's not willing that any should perish, if you want to perish, he'll let you perish. Does that make sense? So faith simply activates what God has already provided for you. Before you get down to number two, question two, just get it secured in your heart and mind that by grace God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. Just get it established in your heart and mind that God has blessed me. God wants me free. God wants me saved. God wants me healed. God wants me happy. God wants me functioning. He wants me functioning in society as a citizen of wherever I am. Y'all got that? So you got to get that settled, and you have to get it settled that he gave it to you because of his grace. And so you don't have to be on a faith treadmill. You don't have to worry if you miss if you don't go to church one Sunday that's the end of it for you. You don't have to worry about if you didn't pray three times yesterday that's the end of it for you. You don't have to worry if I didn't read my four Bible verses or my four books of the Bible. Don't get hung up on that. Focus on the fact that by grace, God gave it to you, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Okay? And then as you realize that, then it'll cause you to want to go deeper with God. It won't cause you to want to go shallower with God. It'll want you to go deeper with God. Does that make sense? Get number one so clearly ingrained in your heart that faith becomes something that's way easier than I used to make it for people. Man, I used to beat people over the head about faith. I don't do that anymore. Faith is a natural byproduct of understanding that God's grace, and that's also a definition of God's love. Faith is simply a natural byproduct of understanding that God did this stuff for me, so I'm going to take it. God give it to me, so I'm going to take it. What do we buy Jordan for Christmas? Oh, a set of starter golf clubs that will never, I hope I can teach him how to play on some level. But Jordan, when I gave you that set of starter golf clubs, when you walked into the living room that day, did you think I was going to take it back? Huh? What did you think? Daddy gave it to me. It's mine. Whose golf clubs are they? Who paid for them? No, but that's the great truth. That's the great truth. Listen to this. Whose golf clubs are they? But who paid for them? Am I going to take them back? No. I gave them to him by grace. He received it by faith. And now he's going to go out and hack that golf ball. Does that make sense? Y'all see that? I'm telling you, this is revolutionary. It's revolutionary. And if you get a hold of it, it's life-altering. So I don't want you to get too hung up on the faith part of it. And that's why I'm not gonna beat you over the head. But faith is important. And then you have to understand that faith is voice activated. You have to say with your mouth what you believe in your heart. So real quick, I'm going to put Mark 11, 23 and 24 up real quick. I'm not going to say a whole lot about it because I used to put this verse up every Sunday. But I'm only going to put it up because it's still true. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, here's the thing. Here's the one thing I'm going to say. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. So if there's a mountain in your life that's trying to keep you from what God's provided by grace, then this is when you use your faith to get rid of that mountain. If the mountain is sickness and disease, you use your faith to appropriate what God has provided by grace, which is healing. If the mountain is depression, you use your faith to appropriate what God has already provided by grace, because the chastisement of our peace was put upon him. If it's financial distress, you use your faith to appropriate what God's already provided by grace, provided that you're doing your part and that's working. You know, if you're retired and you're living on your retirement, that's a wonderful thing. But I'm talking about provided that you're working, then God will bless what you're working. God will bless your hands. So the mountain that's being removed is being removed because it's something in your life that God's already given you by grace. See that? Everybody see that? So, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed. Notice, for I say to you, whoever says, how many of you don't know what the words, am I saying something now? Yes. Am I saying something now? Am I saying it? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he will be in the future, he will have whatever he says. How many says's are there? One, two, three. What are you saying to your mountain? Hey, body, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Hey, mind, I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Right? And again, we don't have any problem when it comes to salvation, because we're saved, because we know God did it by grace, and we simply say we're saved. If we would just train ourselves along this line, we'd see way more positive results. I'm absolutely convinced of it. You won't see total results. You never see total results, but you'd see way more positive results if we could get the church trained to know that if you're a member of the body of Christ, are you a member of the body of Christ?
Yes.
Are you saved?
Yes.
If we could get the church trained to know that if you're a member of the body of Christ and that if you're saved, God has blessed you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places, and that through the cross, through what Jesus did, from the time they arrested him, they beat him, they bruised him, and then they whipped him. They put the crown of thorns on his skull. And so by the time he got on the cross and shed his blood, he was bleeding from the top of his head to the soles of his feet, because they put the nails in his hands, they put the nails in his feet. And so total redemption was made available for all of us through the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Y'all see that? Isn't that something? It's beautiful, right? And then, so verse 24, real quick, verse 24. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them. And I always put this in here. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them when you pray. Now here's another thing that I don't think I taught as well as I'm teaching it now. The thing you're believing you receive when you pray is what God has given you by grace. So if you don't know God's given it to you by grace, don't go this way. Don't pray this prayer yet till you know that God's given it to you by grace. Remember, all things that pertain to life and godliness come to you through the knowledge of Him. So you got to receive that information that you're saved by grace through faith. You're healed by His stripes. The chastisement of our peace was put on Him. And so then when something I'm asking God for, it has to be something I know has been provided by His grace. Everybody see that? One of the things that I'm just going to be completely honest with you about is I'm so reluctant anymore to kind of go through these kind of things step by step, because I don't want people to get all bogged down. But really, it is a process, and really you do need to understand that it's not just up to God. See, what we learn in, let's go to 2 Peter 3:9 one more time, and then I'm going to just talk briefly about number 3, and then I'm going to ask Al to come up. Look at 2 Peter 3:9 one more time. 2 Peter 3:9. See, you got to understand, it's not just up to God. This verse explains that to you if you can see it. See, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So if God had it the way He wanted it, everybody would be saved. But we have choices. We're free moral agents, and so we have to make the decision to receive. Listen to me. We have to make the decision to receive what God has given to us by
grace.
You guys have got it. You got to make a decision to receive what God's given you by grace. So in my opinion, the number one thing is number one. Find out what God's given you by grace. Get that revelation. Find out, you know, God doesn't want me sick. God doesn't want me depressed. God doesn't want me anxious. God doesn't want me in poverty. God wants me to be a functioning citizen. Amen? Find that out. Know that He did all that from the time He was arrested till the time He said it is finished. God did everything that we'll ever need. Amen. And we receive it by grace. And then number three, and I'm only going to talk about this briefly. Am I persuaded enough about what I believe to be able to overcome natural unbelief? We overcome natural unbelief pretty easily when it comes to being saved, right? Sunday morning, Pete, if you answer yes to this one, if you answer no to this one, then we are going to ordain you as head deacon of this church. How many of y'all, since you've been a Christian, have said a cuss word? I want to see a show of hands. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, have said a cuss word? You've said a cuss word. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, listen to me very carefully, I'm going with some easy stuff. I don't want to ask no hard stuff. How many of you, since you've been a Christian, have thought bad about another person since you've been a Christian? How many of you, since you've been a Christian, have had evil thoughts regarding politicians? Here's my question to you. How many of you, oh, wait a minute, Pete, did I see your hand on any of those? Huh? Okay, I feel better about myself. I feel better about myself. All right. We raised our hand to those things, didn't we? All right, here's my next question. How many of you are saved? Well, so cussing didn't keep you from saying you're saved. Thinking bad about another person didn't keep you from saying you're saved. And knowing that most politicians in our country today are not the best, I'm trying to do so much better, that didn't keep you from being saved. You know why? You overcame natural unbelief. You didn't go by how you felt. You didn't go by how it looked. You simply went by what God's Word said, and God's Word said that by grace have I been saved through faith, and that not of myself, it is the gift of God. Natural unbelief. Now listen, and I'm just going to use it in healing for a minute, and then we'll come back to it. Natural unbelief is just simply being able to overcome what your natural senses say and be able to believe what the Word of God says apart from what your natural senses say. So if your body says you're hurting, and if it's hurting, it's hurting, but your spirit says, by God's grace, I'm healed. Natural unbelief says, by God's grace, you're healed. I was going to see if I could find one verse. Mark 9, 23 and 24, and then we'll close with prayer. Mark 9, 23 and 24. Jesus said to him, this is the man that had the demon-possessed son. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Right? Believes what? Believes in the grace of God. Here's what this guy said in verse 24, and boy, I can sure relate. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. In other words, on the inside of us, we know we believe, but we're looking at the natural. We're looking at how things look, and we're looking at how we feel, and we're looking at what people say, and we're looking at circumstances, and we're allowing the natural unbelief to negate grace and faith. Okay? And that's going to be a process. That's going to be a lifelong process. Everybody see that? Everybody understand that? So do me a favor. Again, I am not trying to. Can everybody tell this is in me, that I learned this, that I know this? But I'm telling you, you can get all the resources you need at awmi.net, and you can get those things for free and download those. Listen, I want to tell you guys something. I'm going through some stuff. I don't know exactly what it is, but Al has been here to help me, to minister with me, and I'm going to keep doing this as long as I can, but I just need y'all to continue to pray and thank God that I am healed and that I have overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of his testimony. So Al's going to come up. Is there anybody that would like prayer this morning? He would be willing to pray. If you need prayer this morning, come on up and Al will pray with you. Yeah, you better get the oil. And we've still got plenty of time. So let's come on up and let's let Al pray with us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So we're going to receive this. In Jesus' name, we walk by faith and not by sight. Turn me off. I'm done.